Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Falcons Monday, brought to you by Comcast. Experience internet that's more than just fast with Xfinity XFi, and we'll get the phone lines open back up in about 20 minutes or so, 25 minutes from right now at 12:20, and get your Falcons calls in again. We did it at 11:20, and you know, obviously everyone's furious about what happened yesterday.
I was just thinking this. One of my good friends, Emmanuel, just texted me to say he's a big Falcon fan. He just texted me the S word, whatever. But I remember this, Andy. I remember I was on the air that Monday after the Super Bowl, and fans were hurt. Mm-hmm. They were hurt, disappointed, crushed. And they just pissed off right now.
Yeah,
they pissed, and you should be. And here, and you know, I'm never that. You know, I try to you know keep it even and all that stuff. And you know, I know what it's like to be a player in that situation. I'm on these. I'm with these Falcon fans 100%, man. If this don't get better, something got to change. It has to, dog, because you can't continuously put your fans through what they're putting these fans through, man. That's just all. I mean, and we got two more hours in our show. I'll say it maybe three or four more times. Man, that was just bad. You know, I mean, that was just bad. You can and our girls talking about, well, Jaden Graham's a scapegoat. You know, Jaden, he walked past. You had three Falcon players just look at the damn ball. Oh, there's a ball rolling
it's
right
spinning.
There.
Look at it spinning. It's spinning. That's kind of cool. Look at
it's
that.
It's spinning.
Cool. Hey, guys, where do you think it's going to end up? Hang on. Don't touch it. Move. Don't touch it.
I am 100% right. I don't think there's any other football team that would have let that happen.
Oh, fair enough.
I don't. How does that? Now, we can talk about everything else that happened in the game and all that. The defense giving up 30 damn points in the second half. But you still, as brutal as that second half was for your defense, there was still a chance to win the game.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing about it, Randy. And I'm 100% with you. Like, sometimes we as fans overreact to things and make a bigger deal out of things than they are and harp whatever. That is not this. Like,
that's not this.
Whatever your reaction is as a Falcons fan, I mean, as long as it's not, well, you know, whatever your reaction is fine. There's no such thing as overreacting to this, though. Like,
none.
Because if this was week two of, I don't know, say they brought in whoever to be the head coach this season, and it was week two of a new regime, it would still be very frustrating, and you'd be really mad. But, you know, at least you'd have some, all right, it's a new coaching staff or whatever. Like, you'd have something to fall back on, kind of. This is the same bunch of guys who's been here for 6 years, and that's why Wendy said in the last segment that she thought it was worse than the Super Bowl, because this is the group that did that. Like, they have the scar tissue of allowing a game to slip through your fingers like that, and they still didn't learn from it. And the thing that really baffles me about all of this, and again, it's happened so many times now under Dan Quinn, is so many things have to go wrong to blow a game like that. So many individual things. If this broke that way, if this went that way, then it would be different. It's not a coincidence, though, is it? Like, we keep saying that about this group.
Who was a caller?
How could it be a coincidence?
We had our caller earlier, and he said the same thing. Nobody in Atlanta was like, oh, we got this in the bag, because this stuff happens, and I think that is what the most frustrating thing is, that you're mad. I was mad as hell at what happened in that game yesterday, Andy. But I'm more mad at myself because I'm not surprised that happened. Look at this mess, man. Look at this right here.
Marietta. It was Julian.
There are four guys around the damn football, man.
You got to stop watching it, Randy. You're torturing yourself, man.
Four guys. Right there.
Alameda Zaccheaus.
And the thing about it is that Goodwin, CJ Goodman, former Falcon, he wasn't even hustling on the play. He wasn't even hustling. He was just sitting there. Yeah. He was sitting there scooting with the ball. Yeah. He had no sense of urgency whatsoever towards the football and still got the damn ball.
They were curling. It was like they were using the
little... exactly what it was.
The little sweepers and curling to get the ball to go an extra half a yard to get it over the line. And the Falcons were letting them do it. They're sitting there cheering them on. I have no explanation for it. There is no explanation for it. The only things that you can come up with are they didn't know the rule, which is completely unacceptable, and everyone should be fired if that's true. Or they didn't want to be the guy that made the mistake, which is also unacceptable.
You know what, Andy? That's a soft blank stuff.
Yeah.
Afraid to make a mistake? Whew. Then you don't need to have you out there, brother.
Yeah, right. Exactly right.
If you're afraid to make a mistake, you don't need to be out there. If that's the case, Andy, I'd rather you say we didn't know the damn rules than you start there talking about I was scared to make a mistake.
God, we've
don't
had some bad
give me that.
Options to choose from.
There's no season. I'll tell you right now. If you want to talk about the locker room, they're upset. And when they show that film, that part of the game today, which they are going to show, and those guys that are sitting around the football, we were talking about putting your head down like a turtle back in the shell. That's what you're gonna want to feel like, because that's everybody right there that was not on that field that knows the rule is sitting there looking at you like, what the hell were you thinking? Even Dan Quinn is sitting there probably saying that to them. What were you thinking?
Yeah.
Special team coach. What were you thinking?
Right. Whatever. It wasn't going to go 10 yards, I guess. It was going to go out of bounds.
You don't take
maybe.
That chance.
You don't take – you can't. You can't take that chance. Not knowing the situation of the game, you're up by two. Like – or
you don't
whatever.
Take that chance. Let's sit there and wait for it to go 10 yards.
It was a field goal game. It was a field goal game. You can't take that chance. You're up by one. Yeah, unbelievable. We've had some bad options to choose from the first couple weeks this season. Either Raheem Morris didn't prepare for Russell Wilson, or the defense is so bad that they got gashed. I think the defense is really bad. I think we learned that yesterday as well. They gave up 30 points in the second half, and Dak Prescott did whatever he wanted. Like,
a team that
doesn't throw the ball downfield started throwing the ball downfield on you because you couldn't cover.
Because you gave them opportunities to do that. You weren't giving them opportunities to set up. So you can talk about the personnel or whatever. Why the hell did you change what you were doing that was working?
I don't know. It's a great question. I mean, the Falcons played the best football they've played in three seasons
and
in
you
the
go
first half of that game.
Completely away from it. And then you start letting Dak get into a rhythm and get comfortable when you had them. You had them.
And those are coaching decisions. I mean, I'm sorry. Those players have to make plays too. Julio should have caught the football, okay?
Yes.
Absolutely, Julio should have caught the football. There's no question about that. They should have dived on the ball, should have dove on the ball on that onside kick, obviously. Players have made mistakes too. But the philosophical shift to go from what was working in the first half of the game to what they did in the second half defensively is a decision that was made by the coaches. And that's unacceptable too. Like, there's nothing about it that's acceptable. Here's another crazy stat for you, just for the Matt Ryan folks. This is the fifth time in Matt Ryan's career that he went over 125 passer rating and over 250 yards passing and lost the game. Fifth time in his career that's happened. No other quarterback in NFL history has ever done that. Three times. Five times he's done that. Five times. And the team lost. And yesterday was one of them. The Super Bowl was one of them, too. So
you just don't check. I mean, that's what you didn't give them any time. You were all over. They did not know what hit them. And then you went away from because you had a lead. You had a cushion. And now it's like, but the thing about it, Andy, was it wasn't a fourth quarter cushion. It was a second half cushion. You went cushiony in the third quarter.
Never go cushiony in the third quarter. If you're going to go cushiony, do it like the Seahawks were up three touchdowns in the fourth quarter 2 weeks ago, and they went kind of cushiony.
Did they go cushiony?
A little bit, yeah. And that's why, because they're using the clock. Because when the game's over and you're up by two touchdowns, then you win. You can't go cushiony at halftime. It's too early. Too early to go cushiony, Randy. Let's get to the big clip of the day, brought to you by Johnson and Allday, injury attorneys.
Day.
Visit johnsonallday.com.
From my viewpoint, look like a slow roller, and in that space, we've got to go get it. And so I'll have a better view of it tonight when I watch it. But clearly, they got to wait for it to go to 10. But for us, we got to go get it in that space, too.
Yeah. So
then why didn't you?
After Dan Quinn has a chance to watch it last night, what do you think he's going to say about it today? And there's nothing, again, that he can say that makes it better. There are things that he can say that make it worse, though. So what's Dan Quinn going to say about it today at 3:30 when he meets with the media? They allowed him to get away with that answer yesterday. You can't allow him to get away with it today. Either they didn't know the rule or they were too scared to make a play. Okay. Okay. Neither one of them's good. I mean.
Man, I mean, that's why I say they're going to watch it today and everything and before his presser. I mean, I don't. What do you. Because you don't have to wait. That's what. Like.
You know, just a quick. Can I just take a quick second from all of this and we'll get right back to it? It would be kind of a cool rule if you did have to wait. Like, onside kicks would be a lot more fun, and you'd get them a lot more often if both teams had to wait for the ball to go 10 yards. Now, it would be stupid, and it would be a total advantage for the team that was kicking, but it would be like rugby. It would be totally ridiculous. Anyway, obviously, that's not the rule. The Falcons should have dove on the football. They should know that they should have dove on the football, and any answer that we get about it today is going to be unsatisfactory. But, I mean, that was it. But that was just one of the moments, Randy. I mean, that was the highlight of it, the most obvious and egregious of the moments. But in order to get to where they got to, in order for that to even matter, it should have never gotten to a point where an onside kick could matter in that game.
Exactly.
A lot of other stuff had to happen first.
Like, you're sitting there and you're in a situation where you're in the fourth quarter, and it's a three possession game, Bunk.
It was.
Yeah. Like, it don't happen. Like, this stuff, like, you can't. This were all the things that happened in that game. As you can tell by the 440-0, they don't happen.
Nope.
They
Only the Falcons.
It happened yesterday to a point where you were, like the caller said, the most dominant half of football I've seen the Falcons play in a while.
Yeah, since 2017, that's for sure.
All three, Andy, all three phases. You're like, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and it wasn't all bad, but I mean, you had some great. Kaminsky showed up. Kaminsky showed up yesterday.
Yeah. Foye Aluakun, best game of his career.
Showed up yesterday. Showed up and showed out.
Calvin Ridley is an all-pro. Like, showed Calvin Ridley is one of the best receivers in the NFL.
I thought Hayden Hurst played tough.
Yeah, he did. Played good. Got a touchdown. Awesome. Good.
I mean, and
none of it matters.
That's the thing about it. None of it even matters because the way that you collapsed. And that's all. That is going to be the key phrase today, Bunk. I know for the rest of our show, we know how Dukes and Bell get down. We know what Chuckery does at night. But it all boils down to collapse, man. Mm-hmm. That was a collapse that is. It has to be unforgivable, Andy. Like, how do you come back from that? I mean, of course, winning helps everything. But I mean,
yes,
especially when you're at a point where. The coaching staff, the front office, and everybody has no room for error. And you create an error like that. What did we say, Andy? 1 month?
1 month. They got a month. They got September. And they're not off to a good start in September. I mean, look, if you're looking for a get-right game, Mitchell Trubisky seems like a pretty good option. But they're 2-0. Even the sad, sorry Chicago Bears with Mitchell Trubisky as their quarterback are 2-0. Falcons sitting here 0-2. They've given up 80 points in two games, Randy. 80 points. And the reason that the season flipped on its head last year, we were told, is because they made changes on defense. The defense was so bad last year, midway through the season, that the head coach, who was a defensive coordinator, demoted himself.
Yep.
Like, that's what happened last year. And the guy who we replaced him with now, in two games, has given up 80 points.
Yep. Awesome.
Fantastic. Dan Quinn said maybe they can learn from it.
Loss like tonight, it's hard to process. You can't believe it. You're frustrated. And so we'll get to the truth of it, and then we'll get right back to work, knowing that there's a lesson to take from it, and we'll apply it moving forward. But, this one hurts, and we've got to find our spaces to go finish, and when those moments come up, to go nail them.
You know what, Andy? And this, I'm about to turn TV off because they keep showing. I'm looking at who's out there. You got Zakina, whatever the hell his name is. Him.
Yep.
You got Jaden Graham.
Okay,
these are two young players. But that still don't make no sense. That y'all and then you look at it, y'all are the front line. Y'all aren't supposed to be going backwards anyways. Y'all supposed to be going to block them folks and let Julio get that ball.
That's right.
And I'm going back through all the onside kicks I've ever been a part of in my entire life. And that was always our job at the front. You go block the guy behind us. That's why we put him back there. he gets the football. But yet, y'all in the way of Julio. Y'all backing up around the ball.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yes. Everything they did was wrong. Every single part of that play was wrong. Let's get some good stuff. Kyle Wright was good yesterday. Here's Brian Snicker talking about it.
I like how he attacked, and he looked like he's running balls in on him, and but that was really nice to see.
Yeah, it was really nice to see. Kyle Wright's looked pretty good his last two starts, and yesterday went 6 1/3, only gave up one hit. Braves go up to New York, take 2 out of 3 from the Mets, and they're back at it tonight against the Marlins with Huascar Ulloa on the mound. 7 games left, Randy, magic numbers 5. Braves are going to the playoffs. The question is just, what does the starting rotation look like when you get there? A couple good starts by Kyle Wright maybe makes you feel a little bit better.
He's been good, man. He's been good. Max Fried looked really good on Friday night. Kyle Wright, you know, his second really good outing in a row. And I think, you know, let's see him one more time and see if he still has it. Then you're like, okay, we got Max Fried. Now, who's after him in that second, in that two hole? Because the first round, we know, is the best out of three, right?
Yeah, it is.
The best out of three. So who's going to be that number two in there?
Number three is really important, too. Is it Cole Hamels? Can Cole Hamels pitch his way into that spot in the next 7 games? He's got 2 starts left. We'll come back and open the phone lines back up. Great calls at 11:20. We'll do it again, 404-741-0929. Just react. React to yesterday. Vent. Let it all out on a Falcons Monday brought to you by Comcast. We'll be right back. Falcons Monday brought to you by Comcast. Experience internet that's more than just fast with Xfinity X5. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. 20 minutes away from some damn good questions with Brian. We'll, again, touch on some of the other things that went on over the weekend. Atlanta United still in a major rut. I mean, just really tough times right now for United. The Braves played pretty good. Anyway, we'll get back into everything that went down over the weekend coming up in about 20 minutes. But the phone lines are open again, 404-741-0929. And Wendy puts our show sheet together and then emails it out before the show, so we know what's coming up every segment, if there's something to tease, if there's a live read or whatever. Here's what she wrote about taking phone calls at 12:20. Listener reaction, have at it. Have at it. No question. Just call us and tell us what you think about the Falcons yesterday specifically, but take it bigger than that. It is bigger than that. Yesterday was just sort of indicative of something that's been happening for a while. Very frustrating. You said it a lot of times today, Randy. Just embarrassing, man. It's embarrassing to turn on the TV today and have that be the lead story. It's embarrassing to see this team squander so much talent. There's so many good players on this roster that, you know, are deserving of, and I can't say that they're deserving of better than this because they're a part of it too, but certainly the Falcons fans are deserving of better than this. You guys just don't deserve this. It sucks. It's ridiculous to be the one of 441 to ever score 39 points and have no turnovers and lose the football game. Only the Falcons could lose a game like that. We'll get out to the phone lines here. Mike is in Buford. What's up, Mike?
What up, Mike?
What's up? What's up?
Hey, man.
All right.
Let's go. Andy, let it go.
All yours.
Andy, first of all, congrats on the baby, man.
Thank you.
Second of all, Randy, this is this question for you since you used to work or used to play in the league. So I heard Keyshawn on First Take talking about how his theory after watching the tape was that he thinks that they were waiting for the ball to roll out of bounds.
Okay.
Now I don't buy it, right? I don't buy it. I thought they were just a dumb team. That's just my take. But what's your take? Do you think they were just real question, you know what I'm saying? Real question without trying to get, you know, whatever. What do you think?
Okay, sure. Mike. Thanks, Mike.
I also heard Keyshawn do that, and there's no way in the hell they were waiting on that ball to go out of bounds. There was no way that ball was going to go out of bounds.
No.
You jump on that football right then and there. If you're Jaden Graham, if you're Zucchini, you jump on the ball. That ball was not going out of bounds. All right? And then the third crazy thing is, and Andy, I keep telling myself this, I just turned off the damn TV. Why is Hayden Hurst backing up anyways? Like, I mean, this ain't like you.
I don't know. Again, just walk us through it from an X's and O's standpoint because you've been in that situation on that team.
All right,
is the front line of guys ever supposed to back up?
Thank you, Andy Bunker. Thank you, Andy Bunker. I don't know if I said it or not. The front line on the onside team never backs up. You saw last week in the Tampa and New Orleans game when them two dudes ran to each other?
Yeah.
On the kickoff? You never run, unless you are the returner himself, you don't ever back up to field a kick or a damn onside kick. You always go for it because your job is to protect the guy in the back. Unless it comes straight to you, you don't back up. Now, note, the ball was coming straight to them, and they still backed up instead of jumping on the damn ball.
Yeah, who's next? I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, we'll keep it moving. Thanks, Mike.
That ball was not going out of bounds.
It wasn't. It was curving, and it wasn't going fast enough. It wasn't going out of bounds. Rashard and Marietta. What's up, Rashard?
What up, Rashard?
Andy, Randy, what's good with y'all boys?
Hey, man.
What's up, brother?
I just got to say, man, at 30 years old, I'm just numb. You know what I'm saying? Like, all I've known as a Falcons fan is just embarrassing losses and in pain. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to keep rooting for my guys. But after watching yesterday, you just sit there on your couch and you're watching that slow dribble roll and nobody's moving and you're just like, not again. Like, how could you make that mistake, you know? And I'm no football savant. Like, I can barely get over 500 in Madden. But it just seems our entire franchise history is just low IQ plays and keep hiring these defensive coordinators when you have two Hall of Fame talents. Like, I look at the Browns, I look at the Lions, and folks can laugh at them nationally, but I'm like, they don't have two Hall of Famers. We've had those guys in our prime their whole careers, and we haven't been able to do anything but embarrass ourselves. So I'm watching TV, and I see Stephen A. Smith talking about he throws away our jerseys. Like, were we in a position to send national media our jerseys in the first place, considering how last season was? So, I mean, who knows? We could turn out some miracles. We could go 10-6, and things would be all sunshine and cherries. But as of now, I don't see it under Dan Quinn. And, you know, hopefully the next guy's an offensive guy for the first time in Matt's career. But, yeah, it's just embarrassing. And thank God we don't have the perception of the Browns and Lions, but we should. You know?
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Rashard. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it, bro.
Hey, it's so funny. Feel the pain in his voice.
Yeah, man. A lot of people feel like that. I got Daniel Peake, who always shows us the who always, you know, when we have our happy hour, participates and all that. He said the same thing. Then what the hell was the timeout for? You're absolutely correct. Because a lot of times on onside kicks, when you get a timeout from the receiver team, they want to see how you lined up. Exactly what it is. They want to. But now because they have, have balanced out the onside because of you can't overload anymore. Mm-hmm. It was more or less they were looking at, because you don't see a lot of onside kicks where the ball is not on a tee. Mm-hmm. And so when the ball was flat like that, I'm assuming that's why they called the timeout. Whatever. There's nothing that Dan Quinn or any of those players can say today that's going to be like, make you be like, oh, no. Okay, now I understand. Because
there's no
freaking reasoning behind it.
None. None at all. None at all. The only explanations are bad answers.
Like, that's it. Yeah, exactly.
The only because reason the more you explain
it,
is a bad answer.
The more you explain it, these are one of those things, the more you explain it, the more pissed I'm going to get.
Yeah, right. Exactly right. I thought Rashard was hit it nail on the head. It's a low IQ football play. Like, it is not. There's nothing smart, nothing. Savvy, nothing in the moment that you got to make bang bang plays in the NFL, but also, like, let's not hide behind. Well, you know, it's tough when it's happening fast like that. They're in the NFL, like, they're NFL football players. It's their job to know what to do when stuff like that happens. And it also wasn't that bang bang of a play. It was slowest onside kick I've ever seen in my life.
I was talking about my man Keith Armstrong, who used to be the special teams coach here, now down in I'll always remember one of the first things he always said to me. He said, what makes a good football player is, yeah, you're tough, but you're smart. Andy, that's one of the dumbest plays I've ever seen, man. And I done some dumb plays, too. I tried to pick up a fumble when I should have fell on it. I get it. It happens. But that's just, like,
yes.
And then, you know what most people say, oh, well, he was trying to do too much. What the hell were y'all doing?
Yeah, they were trying to do too little.
Yeah.
It's the exact opposite. I would understand if you were trying to do too much. A physical mistake trying to make a play is one thing. But a mental mistake, for whatever reason, either you didn't know the rule or the moment was too big for you or whatever, is unexcusable. It is. And again, Dan Quinn's going to have to answer for it more today at 3:30. The problem is, like Rashard said, it's not the first time. Like, there's so many moments where it's like, well, that wasn't good. That wasn't well coached. They weren't prepared for this. Like, how could you not be prepared for that moment in that moment after you took a timeout?
That moment.
Let's talk to Mr. Combs in Macon. What's up, Mr. Combs?
What up, Romy? Down there in Mactown.
Hey, what's going on, y'all? I had to use that name because I wanted my students to be able to recognize me because they listen to this station as well.
That's great.
So I just have two things I want to kind of focus on. Like, I went to school as a journalist major. I teach English, and I teach my students how to probe and get to the actual point. And when they call that timeout right before the kick, I want to know, okay, Dan Quinn, did you go and talk to your special teams coordinator? Mm-hmm. And if you didn't, what did you do? Mm-hmm. And then I want to know, special teams coordinator, what did you tell your players at that moment during that timeout? I want to know those answers.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, I can just go from experience. You're in the huddle. This is what they always do. When you get in the huddle for and thanks for the call. When you're on the hands team, hands. Or they'll come tell you that before the ball is kicked on the field goal or whatever. Hands. Everybody comes up. They count them all off, 11 guys, because you went through this all week in practice. You know where you are. You know if you're the right wing, the right back, all that. You know exactly where you are, all right? And all they say, we got to get the ball. Then they call the timeout and they see how they're lined up and how the ball was on the ground, okay? This is what's going to happen. Because obviously the common sense would tell you that Greg Zuerlein is not going to be a high hopper. We know that mm-hmm. because it's not on the tee. So, and it's not going to pop up like most onsides do. So it's going to be on the ground. You remember what Dave Archer said, watch the middle squibber. It yep. was going to be on the ground. That's just football awareness. It's going to be on the ground. He can't pop it up off the ground with no tee.
When you
so
have to assume that was discussed because they yes, pulled the timeout because they saw it on the ground. You, hey, the ball's going to come out weird.
Yes.
Be ready for the ball to come out weird. Maybe we
yes.
don't know exactly what's going to happen, but it's going to be unusual. It's most likely going to be on the ground. Just be ready for an unusual onside kick because he's not putting it on a tee. So you have to assume that was communicated, right?
Yes.
Like that's why they called the timeout.
Yeah, it had to be communicated. That's why when Art said that, watch the middle squib. It's coming down. It's going to come on the ground. All right, he's not going to be a high hopper. So right then and there, you should automatically know in your head. And just like our last caller said, if they discussed it, Andy.
Right, that's a great question.
If they discussed it. If you went there and said, what? So I've never seen it. I thought the worst onside was Seattle and
Green Bay.
Green Bay that one time
yeah.
in the playoff game.
Yep.
This has nothing on that, man.
Yeah, it is. It's the worst onside, I guess, attempted recovery I've ever seen. They didn't know the rule, or they didn't want to make a mistake. Either way, Dan Quinn will probably talk about it at 3:30 today when he meets with the media. We'll come back and get to some damn good questions with Brian. Thanks so much for the phone calls. Great stuff today. We'll be right back on a Falcons Monday, brought to you by Comcast. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
92.9 The Game.
Everybody hurts.
Yeah, man. A lot of hurt this weekend. And you could hear it in Rashard's voice when he called last segment, Randy.
Yeah.
He said being a fan has just been 30 years of embarrassment and pain.
It is.
That's what he said. And he's not wrong. No, not at all. But damn, that is just brutal.
It's bad, man. And I tell you, my other partner, one of my partners, JV, Javaris Johnson, played with me at tight end at Georgia, just texted me. Like, they mad, Andy.
Yeah, right.
Like, they are mad, and I understand why they're mad, because it's one thing to be the damn Jets or somebody like that. If you watch that debacle that they put on the field yesterday, which is god-awful.
Right.
But the thing about it is they just don't nobody lose like the damn Falcons, man. Nobody. And then I saw Mike, talking about Mike Vick. Mike was on TV. You can look at Mike's face talking about it like, damn.
Damn. Damn. Like, that's all you can really say is damn.
That's all. I mean, there's nothing else that you can say other than, damn, man. Like, it's crazy because it was funny because, of course, I was watching the game downstairs and we got the new puppy. So, there, you know, there's the door to the basement. You could open it up and go right out to the side of the house where our neighbor's house. And so I was letting him out while that was going on. So I had the door open. I'm standing in the door and he's, you know, what's up, bro? And the game's on. And I'm yelling. I'm like, you mother flip. And he said, hey, I swear to you, this is exactly what he said. What the hell the damn Falcons did? Exactly what he said.
Yeah,
he said, what the hell did the damn Falcons do?
Yeah.
I was like, you got to be.
Falcons Monday brought to you by Comcast. Experience internet that's more than just fast with Xfinity XFi. And we'll get back into this in the 1 o'clock hour. Probably spend quite a bit of time on it tomorrow too, which is, you know, kind of turning the page ahead. which isn't really that helpful because, yeah, okay, it's 0-2. There's 14 games left. What happened yesterday was a disaster. It was awful. It's not surprising entirely, which is maybe a bigger problem. But, like, it doesn't make you a hater or a bad fan or whatever people want to say to wonder where the optimism comes from now. Is, okay, but why would you believe that they're going to turn it around, right? Like, they've gotten off to bad starts the last couple of years, and they've missed the playoffs because of it. Like, if this team didn't go into the playoffs, it felt like it was a make-or-break year, right? We said it was a make-or-break September. September's not off to a good start.
It's
so,
not, brother.
So what are we doing then?
Like, I don't know. And you know, and people, you know, and I thought I answered it earlier, but maybe they didn't. Like, people are, well, the players act like they don't care. No, dog, they care.
They care.
They just, it's just all about different personalities. I was a damn cuss you out, screaming, throwing stuff, let's get this bite together. Other guys aren't like that. Julio's not like that. The leadership on this team is not that. They're not a overly cursing, yelling, throwing stuff. And maybe they might need to be. I don't know. But that's just not the personality that Dan and this team is. And it's not like that for a lot of teams. But, yeah, I mean, they care. Believe me. They hurt. Believe me. They are hurting. They better be damn hurting. They better be damn hurting.
I don't know how you could not be. Again,
I don't know how you could not be.
History was made yesterday.
If you love this damn game the way you're supposed to love it, oh, this hurt.
It has to. We'll get back into what happened over the weekend coming up in 15 minutes when we get back to what's trending. Chip Carey going to join the show at 1:20.
Hey!
The Braves had a good weekend. Chip Carey had a good weekend. We'll talk to him at 1:20. The AMA, an hour away. Get your questions in. I imagine some of those might be Falcons related as well. Before we go any further, though, it's time for some damn good questions with Brian.
Time now for some damn good questions about stuff and things with Brian Gephardt.
Brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs. Dial 678 ESOG now.
Oh, boo.
Little riff there. I was thinking you might go no guitar today, just based on the mood.
Got to keep it going. Or maybe I should have played something sad. Sorry.
That's okay. I'll bring it back to sadness here. Outside of the onside kick debacle for the Falcons, what was the worst individual play of the game that led to the Cowboys' comeback?
Damn.
Oh,
Julio dropped the touchdown.
Yeah.
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 Definitely.
That's the one. Julio should have caught it. It was a great throw by Russell Gage.
It was a great throw. I'm sitting there as this play is about to happen. I'm like, come on, Dirk.
Stop running the wildcat on
third
and short. Stop doing that.
Come on, Dirk.
I know.
And then I saw it. I was like, oh, hell. He got it.
He's open. He's open.
He's open.
Oh. And then it wasn't even close to a catch. I mean, it was like his hands didn't work. It was like he didn't even bobble it. It just hit his hands and bounced off.
I mean, there were so many different performances, but I just hate how they changed it. And I'm going to tell you what, man. That damn Keanu Neal – you remember an AMA said, would you rather be hit on a slant by Keanu or Deion? Damn, Keanu be knocking the hell out, folks.
He tried to kill Ezekiel Elliott in the first half.
He tried to kill him. He hit that damn tight end. He hit that tight end on the sideline. You saw, when you hurt but don't want to show nobody? Man, he hit that damn tight end so hard. Tight end tried to hit that slow walk back to the huddle. No, that hurt. That hurt, Pimpin.
Yeah, and again, it would be really fun to be talking about that stuff. You know, Keanu Neal playing two football games for the Falcons defense, hitting people, flying around. Now, Keanu did get beat by Amari Cooper, but I mean, Amari Cooper's going to beat safeties.
Yeah, they had the perfect play on.
Yeah,
double move with Amari Cooper one on one with Keanu. He just beat him across his face, and what a damn catch!
Yeah,
what a
catch
by Amari.
Great catch! Great catch by Michael Gallup on the sideline. I don't know how the hell he came down with that football. That was incredible. But yeah, I mean, I think the Julio drop is the single biggest one. I don't love going for two when they went for two in the first half either.
Me either.
I just don't get it. Like, I understand analytics say you do that, so then you're up by 21, so you're up by three touchdowns. But I mean, just, you know, you scored a touchdown, kick the extra point, have a couple positive things happen, and you're good. Take the points. Now, you know, doesn't help you come back and end up losing the game by one. But yeah, like I take the points in that situation. But yeah, there was a lot that led to what happened with the onside kick, but I think the Julio drop was the biggest.
Well, we're just going to keep the negativity flowing here. This was a tweet that you sent out last night, Andy, and got a lot of reaction from. Who's in a worse spot right now, the Falcons or Atlanta United?
Falcons.
Yeah, it's the Falcons. Yeah. The Falcons are because at least Atlanta United is well. Yeah, I'll say it. At least Atlanta United has already fired their coach, right?
Like, and they've won something.
And they won something. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They have the history of actually winning stuff. But at least they've already pulled the trigger. Like, they said, okay, Frank, this isn't working out. We're moving on. We got an interim right now, but at least we know what they're doing. They're in a bad spot because of injuries and it didn't work out with Frank DeBoer. Falcons are in a bad spot with a coach that, you know, maybe could have got moved on from last year and didn't. That nobody believes in right now, certainly in the fan base.
And that's the thing about it is that, you know, we always talk about, like, your players believing in you and everything like that. And I'm sure that because they still do. But this is it. There was no room on Dan's plate for that to happen. Losing is losing, Bunk.
Yeah.
But the way you lose, that is the thing. Mm-hmm. The way you lose.
Mm-hmm.
And you're giving up 30 damn points in the second half to an offense that couldn't get nothing going for 2 weeks? For six quarters? For six damn quarters, they could not get nothing. And then you go away from what was working, and then they all of a sudden they look like number one offense in the league.
Randy,
30 damn points?
They scored 27 points in the first six quarters of the season. And then they scored 30 in the next two quarters in the second half. Damn. Now, not to leave Atlanta United out of it, though. Atlanta United is not good either.
Oh, they look awful.
They're not good. They are really struggling right now.
But the thing about it is their best player is gone. Their best player is gone. Now, if you take Matt Ryan off the Falcons, they're going to be crap. But he's on the team, and they look like that.
Mm-hmm. By the way, United fans, it doesn't make you a bad fan, to be honest, about Atlanta United not being good right now either. There was a weird back and forth about what a real fan is and all that this weekend. Being critical of your team, as long as you're honest, is like what being a fan is.
Please stop being so damn sensitive. Yeah. If y'all aren't playing good, are we not supposed to acknowledge the fact that you ain't playing good?
What are we supposed to do?
They're
playing bad. They've won one game in 10. They're playing bad. We'll come back. We'll get to what's trending, everything that happened over the weekend. Thanks, Brian. It's a Falcons Monday brought to you by Comcast. We'll be right
back.
Sports Radio 92.9. They're playing bad.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.